Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Wednesday, July 9th, and that's important because this is an evolving situation, so conditions and information may have changed by the time you listen to this podcast, but with me this week is John Lancaster to talk about the lumpy skin disease outbreak in Europe. He got his epidemiology degree from the same place I did, which is Google. So we're not technically experts in this whole disease thing, but we're trending towards becoming experts given how many disease issues we've been facing recently. I went back and I looked. Back in 2018, we had a customer ask, avian flu was really tearing through poultry flocks in the U.S. at the time. It was impacting egg pricing and poultry pricing. And this customer asked me, what would be the dairy equivalent of avian flu? And I reached out to John. I said, John, help me with this. What other diseases are potentially lurking out there that we don't really know about or aren't impacting the dairy cows now, but might in the future? And we came up with foot and mouth disease, mad cow or BSE, tuberculosis, bovine tuberculosis, and Mycoplasma bovis, which was impacting New Zealand at the time. But we did not come up with bird flu impacting the dairy cows. We did not mention foot and mouth disease. We did foot and mouth disease. We didn't mention blue tongue, and we didn't mention lumpy skin disease. So we only got one out of the three or four viruses that are currently impacting dairy cows back in 2018. So John, we now have this outbreak of lumpy skin disease in Europe. Where did it start and where do we currently stand?
Thanks very much, Ned. Lumpy skin disease. We've had the first outbreak in Sardinia, which is an island off of Italy. So it's in the Mediterranean. The first case there was reported on the 23rd of June. It was the first ever outbreak in Sardinia. And we've had another five cases in Sardinia after that. So it's become a bit of a cluster there. Sardinia is a relatively big island. There's around 300,000 cattle on the island. One of the, I suppose, good things about lumpy skin disease, comparing it to maybe foot and mouth or blue tongue, is lumpy skin disease only impacts bovines, so cattle and water buffalo. And so the likes of blue tongue, which is probably the closest analog to lumpy skin disease at the moment, it affects cattle, sheep, and other a chunk of other animals as well. So there can be a bigger pool of reserve of virus in the wild population. Lumpy skin disease, as it only impacts the cattle, then it's actually somewhat in an easier disease to control, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And how is it spread?
So it's actually somewhat similar to blue tongue in the transmission vectors as well. So the main source of transmission is through biting insects. So blue tongue, it's only through the small biting flies, but the lumpy skin disease virus, it can be transmitted by mosquitoes, by horse flies, by basically any biting insect. But it can also be transmitted through saliva, so any bodily fluids from the animal, and interior can also be transmitted through direct contact with being carried on vehicles or humans, etc. The literature suggests that's relatively or pretty uncommon. That the by far the main vector is the biting insects, though. And the initial outbreak, like I said, was in Sardinia. but there has also been an outbreak in Lombardia, which is in northern Italy and getting up closer to the Alps, which is a big milk production region for the hard PGO cheeses that Italy is very famous for. So that's been a little bit more of a risk up there for them. And it's been identified that that transmission has been by animals that were moved from Sardinia up to Lombardia.
And do we know how it got from Italy into France?
Yeah, so the third positive region is in Savoy in France. That's the other side of the Alps from Italy. And so far, we don't know how it got there. At least they haven't identified a vector yet. It's a relatively long distance from the case in northern Italy, and you've got the Alps in between. So it's very unlikely that it's actually insects. So it's more likely going to be animal movement here. And I suppose putting this into context as well, it's probably important to say that based on what the vets are seeing with the size of the nodules that impact the animals and that are infected with lumpy skin disease, that the initial virus entry into Sardinia could be up to 3 months ago. So it could be there for a period of time. And the virus takes between 1 and 3 weeks to start showing symptoms, and it can take another extended period of time before those are very obvious symptoms.
With blue tongue and with foot and mouth, they're endemic in other parts of the world. Like, it's just widespread. It's always there. Is that the same for this lumpy skin disease?
It is. So it's originally was discovered in southern Africa, so Zimbabwe and South Africa, but that was in the 1920s. But over the years, it's moved northwards, mostly through the movement of animals between different countries, into North Africa and Egypt. But really, since the 1990s, 2000s, it spread more globally. So through India, Turkey, Iran, Israel, Russia, even down into Southeast Asia. So those zones that have infection of lumpy skin disease have become much wider ranging than, say, historically with more a southern African disease. And a little bit similar to what we've seen with blue tongue, climate change is probably helping some of those biting insects range further northward than they would have done historically as well. Which is also helping it move.
And I guess also, like blue tongue and foot and mouth, we've seen previous outbreaks of those viruses in dairy animals and other animals in Europe. Have we seen lumpy skin disease in inside of the European Union in the past?
Yeah, we've seen it in southeastern Europe, really from 2013 onwards. 2013, and we saw the first cases in Turkey. And then 2015, the first cases in Greece, and then in the other countries in the Balkans, so Bulgaria, North Macedonia, Kosovo, Albania. And the strategy in those regions for dealing with the lumpy skin virus has been a combination of culling directly infected animals and herds, but also widespread vaccination, which has been very successful in controlling the virus and effectively eradicating it in those countries. So for a period there between, say, depending on the individual country, between, say, 2016 and 2022-23, there was widespread vaccinations in Turkey, in Greece, in Albania, etc. And they've basically eradicated what had become endemic of the lumpy skin disease virus. And then, in various years there, those countries actually stopped the vaccination and went to a surveillance stance on monitoring for the virus. So that does give good confidence that, with good vaccination policy can give good control over the lumpy skin disease.
And I suppose we should have mentioned it at the beginning, like the impact that it has on the actual cattle that are infected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. A good point. So the title lumpy skin disease comes from the nodules that it forms under the skin of animals, and these nodules effectively end up falling out and causing pits into the skin and into the hide of the animals. So that makes the hides effectively worthless for those animals that are impacted. From a direct dairy point of view, the animals that tend to be most impacted by the virus, from what we've seen from the literature, are young animals and milking animals. And milking animals tend to have a relatively strong impact on milk production for that current lactation. The initial periods of the virus are associated with fevers and high temperature, and then enlargement of superficial lymph nodes, those nodules that are formed, and then you have lesions appearing on various membranes, so around the mouth, throat, etc., which makes it very difficult for the animal to eat, uncomfortable, and so you get the animals becoming emaciated, production drops off, etc. For cows and calf, that can cause abortions, etc., as many viruses can do as well. So you have kind of direct and then indirect impacts of the lumpy skin disease. On a more positive note, animals that have been infected once do retain protection against the virus. So unlike, say, blue tongue and avian influenza, reinfection is not a significant issue. And from what we've seen from the literature, somewhere between in a major outbreak, somewhere between 20% and 30% of a herd would become infected.
You and I talked about it a little bit earlier today, thinking through the impact on milk production. When there's an outbreak of foot and mouth, they were killing all of the animals on an infected farm, in which case the drop in milk production doesn't really matter. It's 100% drop in production for that farm, right? Are they doing the same thing for lumpy skin disease?
So far, all the positive farms have been, the cows have been culled, or the cattle have been culled, I should say, more accurately. And they're also using a vaccination strategy with that. For the cows that have been, or for the farms that have been infected, it'll be a 100% loss.
So on the production side, it's so hard to say. We now have three different clusters in two different countries with multiple farms inside of some of those clusters. How far do you think this thing is going to spread?
It's very hard to say. One of the things that is a little bit worrying is that the introduction into Sardinia could have been 3 months ago. Sardinia, from a dairy point of view, isn't particularly, it's not a particularly big milk producing area, but it does a lot of beef production, especially young beef animals, which are then moved to mainland Italy for final fattening and slaughter. So there's a good trade of animals that moves between Sardinia and Italy. From that point of view, there, and given the length of time that the virus could have been active in Sardinia, there's a likelihood that more than one region in Italy, in mainland Italy, could be impacted here. So I think the Italian authorities are doing a very significant track and trace job at the moment to try and trace where animals, especially obviously from directly from the farms that have been detected as positive, but generally from Sardinia as well and into Italy.
So we're probably going to find more cases.
Given the length of time that they think the virus has been in Sardinia, I would be surprised if we don't find any more cases.
I don't know if we mentioned this yet. When I was digging around on this, the World Organization for Animal Health says that just isolating farms and the movement of animals has not proved effective in stopping the spread of lumpy skin disease in other countries, that the only way that has been successful in the past has been vaccination. Is Europe moving towards vaccination?
Yes. Both countries are moving towards or have started vaccinations, and that's been the recommendation of the European Veterinary Organization as well for the major control measures here. So for Sardinia, the recommendation is that all of the animals, and I think I said that earlier, to about 290,000, so just under 300,000 bovines, should be vaccinated. So that's the cattle and buffalo. The majority of those are cattle. And then in Lombardy, basically a more donut style vaccination strategy. So starting in the areas directly around where the infected farm was, and then moving outwards, and probably to cover most of that 20 kilometer or 50 kilometer circle.
So we're probably going to find more cases, but we're moving ahead with effective treatment. Eventually, it probably stops the spread. So there'll be some minor negative impact on milk production from these animals that are culled, from these farms that are culled. But what about the demand side? With foot and mouth, we saw some immediate reactions from importing countries that started to block the imports of European product in regions where foot and mouth was found. Are we seeing the same thing with lumpy skin disease?
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing for animal products and dairy products for both France and Italy. Lumpy skin disease has no impact on humans, so there's no human health issue here. But for products where it hasn't been heated to pasteurization temperatures, those products are being banned from export by a number of different countries. So UK, for example, has banned the import of any raw milk or raw milk products that haven't, and this particularly is important for the Lombardia region with the PGO cheeses. Most of those cheeses have a relatively long maturation period. But any cheese that hasn't started the maturation period before the 23rd of May is not eligible for import into the UK at the moment. Some other countries have made blanket bans. So there's a bit of a hodgepodge of responses to this. The impact directly within Europe at the moment has been relatively minor. The ban of raw milk and raw milk movements outside of the protection zones has been a big one. But by pasteurizing the milk, there's no risk of transmission of the disease.
So have you heard of, or have we seen any big movements in regional pricing or disruptions in the market from this?
We haven't heard too much so far. At the same time as this is happening, there's also been a relatively hot, dry period in Europe here. And we've also had and we're also in the middle of the kind of summer holiday period. So it's generally the quieter time of year. And for those PGO cheeses that tend to have long maturation periods, the direct impact is going to be down the road, depending on how long the outbreak potentially last. So that's something to keep an eye on. And if that milk isn't allowed to be exported in the form of those cheeses, what happens in those markets too? We end up going into more basic commodities like non-PGO cheeses or exported for powder production or butter production, etc. But that's definitely not something that's been worried about right now as having a direct impact right now, I should say.
All right. Thank you for your time today, John.
Thanks very much, Nate.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales, company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446717 to provide to professional and eligible customers including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFE is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial Pte Ltd Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8R SFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. StoneX Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission AFSL, 345646. StoneX Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Services Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of StoneX Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094 or StoneX Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652 and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the StoneX Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from or in connection with this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group, Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to or intended for distribution to or use by any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group, Inc. All rights reserved.